T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Speaker of the House of Delegates, Eileen Fillercorn, she's relatively new, I guess, what, 1 year as the Speaker, not even a full year yet. She seems to think that being the Speaker, which is a very powerful position, I've known personally every Speaker of the House, I think, in my lifetime, or since the 80s, I guess. And, you know, it's a lot of power. But you're a custodian of the Capitol. You're a custodian of that power. You run the legislative process, but she seems to think she's the new owner of the Capitol, which is a different attitude from what I would expect. Tim Anderson is the attorney that we've talked to several times down at the beach, and he's with us this morning. Are you behind this? Tell me what the scoop is and what you know about the Speaker.
Good morning, John. Good morning. I just wanted to throw one minor comment. There was a Gallup poll that said 81% of Black Americans do not want a reduction of police.
Oh, I believe it, yeah.
So if you Google that statistic, you'll find that for your previous caller. But on to the Speaker. So I was hired this week to file a FOIA mandamus action against the Speaker. Essentially what my client did, my client's a lawyer from Northern Virginia.
Okay.
And he sent a FOIA request to the Speaker that basically inquired as to what happened to the artifacts that were in the old House chamber. So you may remember back in July, just overnight, in the middle of the night, the Speaker ordered the removal of all of the Confederate monuments in the old House chamber. And nobody knew about it until it was done, or whoever knew about it, it certainly wasn't known to the majority of the General Assembly.
Yeah. Consult with the opposition. I mean, I've told people it's kind of like if you went away for vacation, you told your 18-year-old son who was going to take care of the house, hey, you know, take care of things. And they have told you for years they hate the color of the front of the house. So they decided on their own to repaint it. And you come home and go, what the hell were you doing here? I didn't give you the permission to do that. You were supposed to take care of the house, but I didn't mean you get to make these judgments. I feel like that's what she did.
Yeah, and so this is in the old House chamber, not where they all meet now. This is like a committee.
This is the museum part of the Capitol.
Right, exactly. And so, and one of those, by the way, just, you know, in case people are like, oh, you're only fighting for Confederate monuments, one of those was a bust of a governor from Virginia, who happened to be the nephew of Robert Lee, but he was a governor of Virginia, so in any event. So anyway, he just basically sent a very, very clean FOIA request to her and said, who took these monuments, who took these artifacts down? Where are they? How much did you pay for them? What kind of competitive bidding process did you pay for these services? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's going to happen? And so he sent this off to her, and she responds. And one of the things he says is, well, you know, just go ahead and send me the contracts for services that, you know, you guys entered into. And so she responds and says, the documents that you're requesting do not exist. Not that she doesn't have the documents, or they're maybe with the Department of General Services or something like that. She writes and says they do not exist. And that is a big, big thing to now start having this conversation. So if there's no contract, if there is no agreement, then by that definition, somebody came into the Capitol and stole the artifacts under her direction. She basically let the burglars in, stole the artifacts, and they're gone, because there's, you know, who owns them now? Where are they? If there's no contract, no bailment agreement, no services agreement, you know. And so we felt like we feel like there is a contract. We feel like there has to be something in writing. Certainly the speaker entered into some kind of an agreement, or she directed DGS to enter into some kind of agreement, or the clerk of the House entered into some agreement. There's some agreement out there that talks about this. You know, did it cost $10,000 to move them? Did it cost $500,000 to move them? Where did the money come from? How much are we paying to store it? What's going to happen next? You know, she just says they don't exist and then tells them to go away, essentially. So
she's being cute, thinking she can just blow him off and that's the end of it. She hasn't met you yet, though.
Well, that's exactly how my client feels, too, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just get blown off. And, you know, the public has a right, not just under FOIA, but under common law. This goes all the way back to Nixon, to be able to have access to government records. And so, you know, all my client wanted was the who, what, when, where. And, you know, he wasn't asking for other stuff, just the who, what, when, where. And for her to come back and say there's nothing responsive to your request is...
Well, that would indicate to me, if let's just say that's true, then you're a reckless administrator, because no one who runs even a popsicle stand wouldn't have records of where they had moved the valuable items related to their business, whether they were popular items or not. So which is it? You're either going to stonewall the citizens, which is pretty maybe illegal, or you're just a terrible administrator and you probably shouldn't be the Speaker of the House of Delegates. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to get to the bottom of, because you know, she's going to have to come in and talk to a judge about this under oath. And so the way FOIA works, you file the lawsuit, you get a hearing within a week. And so because they're going into session next week, the General District Court set it for Monday. Now, she can claim there's a constitutional provision where the legislatures can claim a 15-day window before and after session where they can't be compelled to come to court. So she'll probably do that. But nonetheless, we're asking the court to, you know, she also identified some documents, like 15 emails that she failed to produce and claim privilege. So we're asking the court to in-camera review those, meaning the court can look at them with
without,
you know,
dumping them into the public. Yeah.
Right, right. And then determine if those are actually, you know, appropriately claimed. And so
well, that's very responsible. That doesn't sound like a political hatchet job if you're saying we'd like for the judge to review them and, you know, not necessarily trumpet them on the front page of the paper. That seems responsible.
Yeah, and see if they're actually privileged or not. And if they are, fine. If they're not, you know, turn them over. But, you know, for her to say there's nothing on this and the things I have are all privileged, you can't see them, that's absolutely not what FOIA was intended.
Right.
You know, we're not asking for top secret sensitive information. We're asking for a contract for somebody who came in and took out artifacts overnight with there's no public disclosure of any of this. Of
Tim, these guys are drunk with power, and they assume they don't have to answer to anyone about anything and that they can just do whatever they want. And one of the reasons I want to keep having you on the air is you are one of maybe three attorneys that I've identified who's been bold enough to say, you know what, I don't even know where you fall on the political spectrum, I could guess, but attorneys should be offended that the leaders of the state are basically tearing up the law books and doing whatever the heck they want to do. And I'm very thankful that you have stood up to fight this in court instead of having us fight it in the streets. That's what we should be doing. And I appreciate the fact that you don't even sound like you're doing a hatchet job. It's a very reasonable request for basic information. So I applaud you for that.
Well, you know, we'll see how it goes. I suspect if the listeners are interested in when this will resolve, you know, they'll probably be in session for a week or so, and then she has a 15-day window after that. So we're looking probably mid-September for this to come to a head, and we'll see we'll see what comes out.
Well, keep fighting. I appreciate the fact that you are willing to stand up when so many other people are so timid. Tim Anderson, the attorney from Virginia Beach. Hopefully it won't be the last time we talk to you, Tim. Thank you very much.
Yeah, take care, Tom.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.